and Christians do it too. I'm going, hey, just telling you like it is. But you need to ask these kinds of questions of the person that you're going to marry, because whom or whatever they have done to themselves, they are used to that. And you will never change them after you marry them. What you get is what you got, if you read me. It's very important. Now, keep it in mind, I'm a marriage counselor. I counsel people pre as well as post marriage counseling. And I talk about those things in the marriage counseling processes. It's important to do that, and people lie all the time. So, these soulmates, these people that you are looking to find, number one, you should share a common interest in something. Excuse me, have you ever met a person that absolutely has no common interest in anything that the other person is involved in? Excuse me, I have this nagging cough. Need to take a throat lozenge here in the Lucy Coleman studio. All right. Now, no common interest. Let's say that I like classical music, and I marry a lady that likes the blues. I can't stand the blues. I like going to car races, and she likes baking cookies. I can't stand cookies. I like dressing in modern clothes, and she dresses like in the 50s. No common interest. Why are you marrying that person? Are you marrying her because she's rich? Are you marrying him because you want your children to have the color eyes that he has? Not only have common interests, but has the person that you married, are they able to laugh when you make a funny statement? Laugh at your jokes. Even if you're not serious, these have similar taste in many things. When you find a soulmate, you're tracking together on many issues in life, not just Bible. You know, one of the tragedies within Christianity is that, well, I love the Lord and she loves the Lord, so the Lord is putting us together. That's one of the biggest mistakes you will ever make in your life. Trust me, when I met Lucy, neither she or I had come to know God personally. I came to know God first. The first thing that I did was broke off with her. She asked me why with tears in her eyes. I said, because I learned just from being in church 3 weeks that I'm not to be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And I cried. I was crying when I told her that, because I loved her. I didn't know what to do. I said, now here I am loving this woman. I'd never loved another woman. But the Bible became my source of life. Next thing I know, here this lady is being baptized in the very church that I was born again in. What was that all about? As a matter of fact, I asked, are you doing this just to get me? She proved me wrong, because she was by my side as my helpmeet. She would hit me on my arm now and then because I made her just sick sometimes. You know, my disposition as a man, I'm so didactic and everything. Our arguments, I like to think she's listening in on this conversation right now, looking down, laughing at me. But our arguments were about, most of the time when we argued, she would ask me the question, Why do you have to always be right? And I would answer and said, I'm the head of this relationship to love. It's not that I'm always right. It's just that my decision is the final decision, even if she decided in which way we would go. It would fall back on me. Okay, let's go that way. I would say, honey, let's do this. And she would say, well, I think we ought to do that. I'd rethink it. And I said, oh, okay, let's go that way. We can do that. Now, even though she came up with the idea, as the man, you see, the man is responsible for everything. Let me help some of you guys out here. Let's say that you think you both decided to get the car, but you got the car based upon her income, not yours. And the first time you start having arguments, she says to you, well, you can't have the car because I'm paying for it. And she takes the keys to the car, and you got to take the bus to work. And she's not even working. She's at home. But she takes the keys to her car. What? No, you're the man. You should say, give me those keys. I'm not taking the bus or the train. I'm taking the car. And when she says, it's my car, see, now you have an impasse. Why did you marry that woman? Why didn't you discuss that before you married that woman? Those are the kinds of things that you should look at deeply before you marry the person. Because guys, you're the head of the relationship to love. She has no power. I don't care if she is making the car note. And let me talk to the ladies. That's your husband. It's not your car. When you married him under God, you promised to submit your life under his rule or his headship. Now, guys, stop gloating, because I see some of you saying, yeah. I got testosterone running all through me, too. And that's a dangerous thing when it's out of whack. So this 20-hour series is not going to be where I'm for the dudes. And see, because that's what some of these so-called female pastors are trying to do. They're trying to be, well, honey, it's our time now. Baby, it ain't never your time to supersede a man's headship in the home. Bible doesn't give you that right. And, you know, I find it interesting. I was speaking about it in the philosophy classroom. As a matter of fact, yesterday, because I have a couple of Buddhists, they look like Buddhist monks in my classroom. And I was saying that in no other country, religion, but in American Christianity, do you find this upsurge of women trying to be men? It is a horrible thing. And you know what? We're looking at the first of the fallouts of this type of attitude in this country. Currently, it is September of 2008, to be exact, September the 17th, when I'm doing this particular cast, and it's after the great Ike hurricane, which tore up so much stuff. I mean, that's just like God, to just tear it up. Well, don't worry, California's just hanging on by a thread. I don't know the mind of God, but I think he needs to send a 10.9 shaker here on the West Coast and tear up everything from Seattle to San Diego. Just tear it up. 400 miles inland from the ocean. Decimate it. I think it'll get America's attention. Our marriages, what we've done in our marriages and our homes to one another, is shameful, ladies and gentlemen. Outrageously shameful. If you're looking for the right husband or the right wife, you know what you guys do? You negotiate your differences within a climate of trust towards each other. Guys, you don't scream your authority nor push it down the throat of your woman. You don't do that. You negotiate your differences. Okay, honey, we differ on this issue. Can we, you know, the guy should say, and you're pretty strong on that, Sally. And that's why I married you, because you're a gutsy girl. She's going to say, don't talk to me like that. I know what you're trying to do. See, she's emotionally getting all caught up in this stuff. But Jerome, you have the responsibility to negotiate that difference in a climate of trust where she can trust whatever you say and you can trust whatever she said. Now, Jasmine, while Leroy is trying to negotiate this, you're not to develop an attitude of indifference and say, well, I'm gonna try to block him in this way because I know I've been with him 10 years and I know how he's coming. And I'm wait a minute. I gotta call my mama. Mama, what is he trying to do? Uh-huh. Yeah, honey, let me tell you, your daddy was like that, and he would yeah. You know what? It's sick. Stop calling these witches. Witches. That's what they are. They're witches. Some of you women, when you don't get your way with a dude, you're gonna call a primary witch. And her marriage, she never could be with a man, because every time she would get with a man, and God only knows how many men your mama done had. Oh, come on now, let's get real with it. Let's get real with this. If you didn't come up in a single parent home, or I should say a home with just two parents, a daddy and a mama, for years and years and years and years, and you've seen all these different babies' daddies and babies' mamas coming up in your home, well, then you know what I'm talking about. No wonder your relationship is messed up. That was never God's intention. This couple that call themselves soulmate, they feel safe as they take emotional risk with each other, knowing that they will not be attacked for admitting their vulnerabilities. Feeling safe when they take a risk. You can tell the Lucy Coleman studio is not soundproofed, huh? Do you feel safe when you make or take emotional risk with your partner? Do you know that that man will not attack you physically or verbally when you've admitted your vulnerability? Honey, you know that $5,000 that we had? Yeah, well, I took that, and, you know, me and Charlie went to Vegas last night, and I put it all on the big spin, man. Honey, that $5,000 is gone. Now, honey bun, how are you going to respond to him? As a Christian woman. And you know what? I posed this same question to a bunch of Christian women in the church that I pastored in the Vet. Years ago when I did a retreat, and even my wife looked at me crazy. Every woman in there went off. How are you? He's admitted his vulnerabilities. He got a gambling problem, and he just blew $5,000. All right? How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to respond like the world, or are you going to respond like a child of God? All right, if you got a soulmate and you married, here's another thing that you guys agree with. They are often sexually adventurous and totally committed to fidelity. In other words, the person that you are with. I said it on the first hour. Some people are rigid and frigid and refrigerated and frozen over and everything else when it comes to sexual activities. Well, the person that you should be with, that you've chosen, are they sexually adventurous? In other words, do they want to try more positions than the missionary position? And are they committed to just having sex with you? Or are they involved, or were they involved in swingers, being swingers? I know we Christians don't want to hear that kind of talk. What are you talking about? What do you think I'm talking about? Your ignorance? Before they married you, did they menage a trois themselves? You got to ask the guy that you marry before you marry him if he did that. And then you need to ask the guy that you with now, did he do that? And don't think that if he did that and appreciated that, now the ladies do, and wanted that, and that's the way he normally got along. Oh, and wait a minute. Some of you listening to this, well, that's not a Christian. That I said you should have asked the question before you married the booger and stopped lying to yourself. Remember what I said when I first started this? Most of the problem is you lying to yourself about what you haven't addressed in your own head. Ask the person the question before you get with them. Then you will not have the problem later on down the road. You're fooling around here talking about some stuff that you should have spoken about before you got with them. You need to say to the girl, have you ever slept in the bed with two women and yourself and a man or two men? Have you ever done that? If she says yes, then you need to ask her, did you like it? And then if she say no, then you ask her this question. Well, how many other times have you done it? 20. And you're right, but you didn't like it. See what I'm talking about? You're investigating this person before you make this person your soulmate. This is important. You ask the person, have you ever had homosexual activities? Ask the guy, have you ever had sex with another man? Well, I don't know whether I can call it sex. Well, what you gonna call it? You need to tell me. Well, when I was in college, I experimented. Like, did you like that? Well, I stopped it. No. That's not answering the question, Jethro. Did you like that? Well, yeah, that was, well, don't you think that's kind of freaky? Well, that's what the Bible says. But did you like it? Yeah, like, see, find that out. See, that's your responsibility. That's your role before you get married. Now, in many cases, you can love a person after they've done those things, but you've made the choice and the commitment to be with that person. And if this person has flashbacks in that area, you got to be with that person because that's the person you're with. That's your soulmate. See, each of you feel comfortable in his or her own racial and spiritual identity also. And guess what? And you respect the other's differences. See, you feel comfortable in that. Because now there's a racial and spiritual. See, Lucy and I really had to feel very comfortable in that because I married a lady that was not from my same racial extraction at all. Not at all. She was Filipina. I'm black. And you got to feel comfortable like that, comfortable with that. Now, let me tell some of you brothers something. Some of you brothers, when you marry women that are not black women, oh, Lord Jesus, be careful. If a sister see you, matter of fact, I was leaving the college campus, walking to my car after I taught the philosophy class yesterday. And as I was leaving the college campus, there was a white girl with her lips smacking up against the lips of a black boy on the campus on the main sidewalk. he had his little hands around her waist, and he just, he was, I just stared at them intently. He was smelling her, and he said, oh, it.